today, our Sunday school lesson is the death of Samson. And our devotional background study comes from Judges chapter 16, verses 20 through 24. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great tribute unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hand our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." Be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school.
Damien just said that he wanted a real teacher. And when I get through with this, y'all may want a real teacher too. Our lesson today is, it's the last. It's the last of Judges. Ooh, this is just beating me up. To go back just a little prior to where Terry had read, you know, Samson had got so far away from God. Now, you know, he was anointed from birth to be a servant of God. And yet, at every chance he got, he seems to have had other things on his mind, especially women. And when he teamed up with Delilah, the scriptures say that she tried him four times to find the source of his power. And all four times, he allowed her to do this. And it just escapes me why he did this. I mean, it really does it. Delilah must have been some woman. But the fourth time she succeeded because she cut off his hair. And he said that was the source of his power. Now, the thing I want to bring out about that is that in Terry's reading of the background study, in the 20th verse of what Terry read, it says that Delilah said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he knew not, that the Lord was departed from him. Now, that's a telling verse right there. Samson, for whatever reason, had no idea that the Lord had walked off from him. I don't mean that the Lord had left him for good. I think God just backed off from him. Because, frankly, I think God had just about enough of the actions that he was doing. And but the point I want to get across is Samson didn't even know this. I mean, he got to the point he didn't know whether God was with him or not. And I think we get that way sometimes. I think we get to the point that we can't tell whether God is with us or not. Because we lose that personal contact that we as God's people should have with God. I mean, there is a personal contact that we have with God from the moment that we're saved. We begin to have a fellowship with God unlike any other fellowship that we have in this life. And it's a fellowship that only His children can have. Those of us who have been saved by His grace, it's the only type of fellowship that anybody else in this world, they can't have that. They can't have that peace, that closeness, that companionship that we have as God's children. And so we can reach a point where I think that we lose some of that contact. Now, David did. I didn't mean to get into this direction, but David prayed that God would return to him the joy of his salvation. Now, why? It wasn't because he had lost his salvation, but he had lost the joy of it. He had lost that companionship, that closeness, that feeling that he had, that God was with him. He lost that, and he went through trials and tribulations, and he was asking God to give that back to him. He wanted the joy of his salvation to be back, to come back to him. Now, that doesn't mean everything is going to be all right. The same thing was as with Samson. It didn't mean that everything was going to be all right, because you know, as far as David was concerned, all the sin that he did, and God would forgive him and bless him. But the one thing that David wanted to do, he wanted to build the temple. And God told him that he not going to do it. Because of what you've done, and all the wars, and all the things, and all the treachery that's gone in your life, you'll not be able to do it. And that's one thing that David wanted. Now, Samson was a judge, and it says that he was a judge in Israel for 20 years. And I'm not saying he wasn't a good judge for Israel, because in those 20 years, it was all war. And he was kind of a military judge, you know, think of him that way. And he led the Israelites through 20 years of turmoil. But still, he had a weakness, and this weakness really began to take hold on him. And now we find that Delilah has found the source of his strength, and she's cut his hair, and he's lost his strength. God has stepped back from him and kind of dropped a hedge around him. You know, that brings to mind Job. You know, Satan wanted Job, and God said, well, why don't you take Job? And Satan said, but you've got a hedge around him. Well, I think God kind of dropped the hedge around him. And they captured him, and they put him in chains, and they put out his eyes, and he was blinded, and they throwed him in prison. And that's where our lesson starts. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. Notice that's a small view. And they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Now, you have to bear in mind the scene that's been set here. He was in prison, and he's been in there a while. So you have to figure that, you know, his hair is going back out. I think that was something they missed. I think they missed the point that his hair was going back out. So he was in prison for a while, and the people were celebrating the victory that they had over their enemy. And so there was a crowd, a huge crowd. And it says in here how many there was. It says about 3,000. There was this huge crowd, and they started calling for Samson to be brought out so that they could make sport with him. Now, that was a common thing in that time. If you remember reading in your history book about the gladiators in Rome and what sport that was for those people, that was as big as the NFL football game or to us today. It was a huge event. Thousands of people would turn out for it to watch these gladiators kill themselves, hack each other to death, and fight lions and elephants and anything else that the Roman government could provide for the people's entertainment. And they were set, I mean, by the thousands, they were set Brenda and I were at the Colosseum in Rome where they had put on these fights, and they had like thousands and thousands, I mean tens of thousands of people in the Colosseum that all cheered on their champions and this and that. And that's what these people want to do this afternoon. They want to bring them out. They want to put them through all these things. They were looking much forward to them cheering on and this and that. So he said, They called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. In other words, they had chained him or something, attached him some way to the pillar. Now, before we get into this, let me explain something. Structures of that time, obviously they didn't have what we have in this time. Structures, especially governmental structures, were huge edifices to the kings and queens of that time. They built these huge temples to their gods, and like the Parthenon Centennial Park. Like the Parthenon in Centennial Park, which was a temple to Athena. And so they built these huge edifices out of stone. And now they didn't have nails, and they didn't have screws and bolts and this kind of stuff. But so, and they couldn't build very high because they didn't know about how high they could build. So they built these structures that were spread out, and stone was stacked on top of one another. It was cut so good that when a stone set on top of another stone, it was perfectly flat. There wasn't a wobble. They were good. And built these, and the whole thing was held together by gravity. Pretty much. It's just this weight, dead weight, sitting on top of one another, held together by gravity. Okay. You got that? And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Now, you see what a size structure this was? There was 3,000 people that were standing on the roof of the structure. And that doesn't include the people that were standing on the first floor of the structure. I mean, this thing was huge. You just think of an area that would take in 3,000 people. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged for the Philistines for my two eyes. Here we have Samson humbled down and praying to God that he would give him strength. Now, it's not unlike Elijah's prayer. You remember Elijah, when he was speaking to the pagans, the worshipers of Baal, and he told their priests to build an altar and put this sacrifice, this bull of holy oil on top of it. And then they would turn it around. He didn't do that yet. He pointed to God. They prayed to God's fire. And the God did. And Elijah had a prayer. When it came his turn, he was going to show the pagans who the real God was. Now, in 1 Kings, let's go to 1 Kings in the 18th chapter. And the 37th verse. Elijah prayed, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. That was a prayer that Elijah prayed to God when it hadn't rained in years in this area. And they built a fire, and the rain came down, the fire came down and left up all this water because of prayer. Because Elijah had prayed a prayer to God, and God heard it. Well, I've come to the point I don't understand. And this is what I just beat myself to death. I'm trying to get this. And if you know, then you can tell me. But I'm at a total loss for this. Samson prayed a similar prayer. And he started off, said he called upon the Lord and said, "Oh Lord God, remember me." Now that's a humble prayer. Oh Lord God, remember me. So you think that Samson has become humble, that he has changed his ways and he's humbling himself before God. "Oh Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O Lord God." Alright, that sounds pretty good. But then he goes on to say in Scripture that I may be at once avenged of this. He was out for vengeance. And that's what I just do not understand. Now, I can understand wanting vengeance. I understand. But he's calling upon God. And then he says, "Because I want vengeance, I truly am stunned with this." I don't know where Samson was going with this, although God heard it. And you'll find that Samson evidently had enough faith for this to happen. And then Paul, in Hebrews, Paul mentioned Samson's name as having faith. And I thought, for some reason this doesn't go together. You got on one hand Samson calling for God to help him because he wants vengeance. Not God wants vengeance, Samson wants vengeance. I can understand it better if God wants vengeance because he's the judge of us all. He sees there's a need for vengeance and he can take it. But that's not our place. We're not to be vengeful people. But here we have Samson saying he wants to avenge the Philistines for his two eyes. So, y'all think about that. If you can understand that scripture, come let me know. Anyway, God evidently heard him. Because when Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel. Now remember what I said, that these structures were based upon gradually. And they just kind of stacked blocks, like a kid's block. And when Samson pushed, he just collapsed on top of this. There wasn't holding it together. He just put his stones. And that was quite a feat of this. Made to take these things and push. And the temple, the house fell and killed everybody in it, on top of it, around, you know, wherever it was. And it included Samson. And that ended his life. And like I said, Paul mentions him. Well, let's see what time we got. Let's go to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And the 32nd. Well, let's start back up so it'll make a little more sense, because Paul was talking about faith. 30th verse says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me." In other words, he didn't have time anymore. He's running out. "For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, So Paul is giving Samson this aura of faith that he had, and he did. He became a hero in Israel because of his dedication, because of his judgeship as he ruled Israel for 20 years, and because of his strength, he became a hero. But out of this lesson, what I got was that even though he was a hero, he had many times failed God. I can emphasize, just like I can with David. We're all sinners, saved by grace, and I think all through our lives we won't sin. But having said that, we need to know that we still have a relationship with God. And we don't get far enough to worry that we don't even know how to call upon him. And you know, I think there's a lot of people out today that are God's people that don't even know how to contact. They've been so far away from him, they don't realize where he's at, even in life. So it behooves us to do the best we can. Stay in constant contact with God. That's what we need to do, not only as individuals, but as a church. We need to stay in constant contact with God. That each and every time that we need him, he'll be there. And we'll know he's there. And I don't want to know. I don't want to wake up one day and realize all of a sudden that he's left. You know what I mean? I'm not taking my salvation, but he's not there. I don't want to ever realize that he's not there because it's so much better watching God in your life than it is not to have God. So we need to work so that we always have God with us, ready to answer our prayers and requests and all the things that we might need for him do in our lives, because he wants to do for us. I believe it. I believe he wants to do for us. But he also wants us to make contact with him, to stay in touch with him, and not get so far away that we can no longer reach out and touch him. So that's my message. Anyone have anything to say? Oh, like I said, now I told you, just like Daniel, you may want a real teacher after this lesson. Anybody have anything to say? Jimmy, would you dismiss us?